On today's Locked On Texan podcast, frustration boils over after the 23-10 loss against the Washington Commanders.
You are Locked On Texans, your daily Houston Texans podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to a Monday episode of the Locked On Texan podcast, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Today's episode of the Locked On Texan podcast is presented by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Pick 2 to 5 players, and if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on your entry. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. That's promo code Locked On over at prizepicks.com. I'm John Hickman, of course, joined by Cody Davis here to discuss the 23-10 loss suffered against the Washington Commanders. Guys, gotta excuse me. Sometimes I want to say Oakland Raiders, sometimes I want to say San Diego Chargers, sometimes I want to say, because it's program, you know, the Washington Redskins, but the Washington Commanders, Taylor Heineke, 190 yards, nothing spectacular. The Texans defense did allow 153 yards on the ground on 40 carries. The Washington Commanders only averaged as a team 3.8 yards per carry. So I don't know if we can just applaud that for the Houston Texans defense. But again, nothing spectacular is what lost them the game. For Davis Mills, 19 of 33 from the field, 5.1 yards per attempt, 169 yards, 2 interceptions, no touchdowns, sacked 5 times, 11.7 QBR, 46.2 quarterback rating. As a team, the Houston Texans rushed for 21 yards. The leader of that bunch, Davis Mills, 10 yards on 5 carries, 1 touchdown that he got at the end of the game during garbage time. Damian Pierce, who I understand why they stopped giving him those running opportunities, 10 carries, 8 yards on the day. Brandon Cooks led the way for the receivers, 3 catches, 70 yards. But when I look at this team, Cody, and what really affected the Houston Texans, it was exactly what I feared. Jonathan Allen had an amazing day. When I look at Jonathan Allen, 3 tackles for losses, along with 2 sacks. Montez Sweat, 2 sacks. Deron Payne, 1 sack. Casey Tuhill, 2 tackles for losses. And there's a couple of other guys that got involved for the Commanders defensively. For the Houston Texans, 2 of 13 on third downs. They were 4-4 on fourth down, so I commend them for trying to be aggressive and competitive and move the chains whenever it was difficult for them to do so. 54 total plays for the Houston Texans, 148 yards, 2.7 yards per play. As I mentioned, 2 penalties for the Houston Texans, both of which on Kenyon Green, I believe, if I remember correctly. 2 turnovers. 25 minutes time of possession. The sentence that I would say, or my biggest takeaway, 100 yards came during the midway point of the fourth quarter, and the rookie wall for Kenyon Green. Kenyon Green didn't hit the rookie wall. The rookie wall hit Kenyon Green. That is how much of a difficult and bad day the young man had. This isn't going to be a show that's going to bash him and accuse him of being a mistake, or accuse general manager Nick Caserio of drafting him as a mistake. He is young. These are some of his issues in the passing sets that he had a problem with coming out of college, right? We've known him to be the run guy. However, this was one of those days where you're going to look back, if you're Kenyon Green, you're going to look back directly at this game and use that moment as a stepping stone and a lesson to get better, because I want to say 3 of those sacks was on Kenyon Green, a couple of holding calls. He just had an abysmal day.
Yeah, Kenyon Green had an awful day. But John, I'm like you mentioned, I'm not about to sit here and bash Keon Green. It was terrible by far. But at the end of the day, you have to keep in mind that this is a rookie. And you also have to keep in mind that this is probably one of the hardest stretches that he's going to have to go through Absolutely. Throughout his entire career. Because you went through some of the best defensive line units over the last couple of weeks. And then on Sunday, you went up against the best version of the defensive line unit. But I do want to shine some light on Keon Green and say this. Keon Green, his struggles also show his value to this organization. Because, John, what is the one attribute that I have been talking about the most every time since I talk about Keon Green? His run blocking. And it just so happens that not only did Keon Green have the worst day of his young career, but Damian Pierce as well. 8 yards on 10 carries. We all know Damian Pierce is better than that. But like I mentioned, when Keon Green got hurt in training camp, like I mentioned during preseason, like I mentioned through the first couple of games of the regular season, remember I said Damian Pierce is gonna go as far as Keon Green is going to be able to help that offensive line. And when you take a look at the struggles that he had on yesterday, that also hindered Damian Pierce as well. John, I understand that he had a terrible day, but like I just mentioned, this is a rookie. And like I mentioned on last week, I'm glad that he's going through this now because he's going to learn from it. And not only is he going to learn from it, he's going to get better from it. And if he gets better from it, that means the offensive line and himself is going to be better. And of course, that's also going to benefit. Damian Pierce is going to benefit from that as well. However, John, I'm not about to sit here and bash Davis Mills. But what I will say is that game on yesterday did showcase why the Houston Texans really need a dual threat quarterback. Because there were several times when the pocket collapsed. If he was a quarterback who knew how to use his legs, he would still have an opportunity to extend plays. He would still have an opportunity to help the Houston Texans sustain their offensive drives. I get it. The way the offensive line unit played, especially with a young rookie like Keon Green, you know, a lot of quarterbacks was going to struggle. But once again, if you had a quarterback who's the prototypical dual threat quarterback in 2022, hopefully they get one in 2023. But I'm looking at that from a standpoint of it doesn't matter who's on your offensive line unit. As a quarterback, as a leader of the team, you still should have the attribute and the skill set to help your organization move the ball. And I say all that just to say, remember last week when he stood in front of us doing his media availability, talking about how he wants to be aggressive, how he wants to, you know, stop depending on the running so much or whatever the case might be. You see what happens when your team cannot establish the run, right? You struggle and your offense struggles. Davis Mills does not have that in his bag to be the quarterback and say, you know what? My run game isn't giving me anything. Let me take this on my shoulders to make sure that I help this organization as much as possible. You did not get to 100 yards until midway through the fourth quarter. Yes, you can look at his stats and say he almost threw for 200 yards or whatever the case might be. But at the end of the day, majority of those passing yards came in garbage time when the game was already in Washington's hands.
I'm sorry. No. The offensive line as a whole had a terrible day.
Yeah, they did.
Laramie Tunsil was bad. AJ Cann was bad. Quisenberry was bad. Pep Hamilton gave his quarterback an opportunity to be aggressive without Damian Pierce being a factor. A pick six on the second play of the game for the first offensive drive for Houston. A ball that was telegraphed. You knew where the ball was going, right? Like, before the offensive line was a factor being bad, that gave that young man a chance. I agree with you on this. I don't think this necessarily showcased why Houston needs a dual threat quarterback, because I think even a dual threat quarterback, unless you're like playing like Justin Fields has been playing, or maybe the great Lamar Jackson, who, by the way, had a great offensive line when he put up the MVP number. But even if you had a dual threat quarterback, yesterday was just going to be a bad day for you. especially considering that, again, you are playing a ferocious defensive front. But Mills had an opportunity to be aggressive and move the ball. And when they came out on the first drive, back-to-back passing down, passing plays, yeah, he didn't deliver. Yeah, pick six on the first drive, second play. So it's like this, man. For Mills, you said what you said in the press conference. You had an opportunity to back it up, and you didn't. And we can look at the rest of the game and say, well, Pep Hamilton, your play calling is this. Well, I'll tell you what, it's the reason why at one point during the game, the Houston Texans had negative six passing yards. Yes, that has a lot to do with what the Commanders was able to do defensively. But I tell you what, guys, there's a lot of times throughout that drive, throughout that first half, where I'm looking at Mills miss a wide open Chris Moore. I'm looking at Mills miss a TQ in the flats wide open on the fourth drive. He's just not going to get it done, regardless of however the offensive line is planned. That is who he is. And I can see why some fans may want to see Kyle Allen instead of Davis Mills. I can. The blame for Pep Hamilton may be warranted a little bit, but when your quarterback, a few days after, he says he wants to be aggressive, and as an OC, I feel like he backed him a little bit in his response. When that happens, and you telegraph the play in a very Matt Schaub-esque feel, pick six on a second drive against a team who, by the way, didn't do anything spectacular to beat you. The Washington Commanders won a game playing very vanilla. This wasn't anything extravagant for you to lose this game. But when you're in that situation, and he puts you in a situation to succeed, put up or shut up, you know what? Next time, maybe you should just shut up. This holiday season, it may be really hard to watch your Houston Texans play football, right? And to kind of ease the pain, family traditions, eggnog, right? Your uncle may make a nice old-fashioned. But whatever it is you love, you can find over at Total Wine and More. With so many great bottles to choose from, it's easy to find a new favorite Cabernet or Chardonnay or the perfect gifts for everyone on your list with some help from a friendly guide. And all with the confidence of knowing you will find something special for the lowest price. Love what you find only at Total Wine and More. Curbside pickup and delivery available in most areas. Visit TotalWine.com to learn more, drink responsibly, and make sure you're 21 years or older before going into the store. And also, guys, I want to let you guys know about our partners and friends over at Turo. Turo is the world's largest car sharing marketplace. With Turo, you can book any car you want, whether you want it from a community or of a local host, across the US, UK, Canada, and coming soon to Australia. So for all of our partners over in the Aussie, we got some coming for you soon over with the Turo company. So forget those boring rental cars. Find a car you want to drive at Turo.com. Welcome back in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Locked On Texan podcast here on Monday, a loss recap game. I don't know how to present it to you. My first game as a credentialed media was on Sunday. That was great. Cold outside. So I made sure I was warm with a jacket on. Got to the stadium. Of course, me and Cody sat by one another. Had an opportunity to witness things live view from the aerial view when you're looking over it from the press box. And I got to say, man, what may have gone unnoticed because of how bad the game was and at times very unwatchable because of the offense was the progression for rookie linebacker Christian Harris. There were some moments in the game that I'm pretty sure you guys saw on TV where some guys was able to make, you know, catches over Harris, like Logan Thomas, who has some very good hands, the quarterback, the tight end, convert. Shout out to Jeff Driscoll, by the way. We're talking about quarter ends, quarterbacks to tight ends converting. but Christian Harris, 5 tackles, 4 solos, may not blow you away. But overall, man, I thought that some of the things that Christian Harris was able to do really show why I believe the Houston Texans and Lovie Smith and Miles Smith values him as a linebacker. What I saw out of him yesterday, of course, again, as I mentioned, there were some times guys just made plays over his head in a passing game. But there's a lot of plays where his play recognition and his instinct of breaking down a play quickly showed on the field. We'll go back and watch some tape this week and then bring it back up. This week we're going to look at the rookies, Kenyon Green and Christian Harris, to dive a little bit more into some of the things that either make them bad on Sunday or some of the things that they were good at. But his play recognition for Christian Harris and his play instinct really showed a couple of times throughout that game, just dissecting on the fly, dropping back in coverage after he thought it was a run play, reading the play action. These are some of the things that I believe the Houston Texans have not had at the linebacker position in a very long time. And I know we kind of crap on him here on this show, but Christian Kirksey, I will say this. You know, he had a tackle for loss on Sunday, 7 total tackles, 6 solos. He plays a hell of a lot better when he is playing downhill, where he's just not having to really think too much about the coverage and what he needs to do. Whenever he's going, being able to flow downfield, attack downfield, 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 at times, Christian Kirksey looked very damn good.
And I'm glad that you started this segment off talking about the rookie and Christian Harris. I've been impressed by what I've seen by him. And keep in mind, guys, this is a guy who has missed the damn near all of training camp, all of preseason, and just about all of the regular season. This is what, his 3rd, maybe 4th career game. And we are finally starting to see the impact that we wanted to see out of Christian Harris every single time he steps out there on that field. Another rookie that I do want to shine light on, I'm not going to crap on him, because once again, when you take a look at these rookies, we have to give them a year or sometimes even 2 to get accustomed to the NFL level. And a lot of people have been down on Jalen Petrie over the last couple of weeks, but not only is he going through his learning curve, but he is still being productive on the defensive side of the ball. John, as you saw, he dropped not 1, but 2 possible interceptions. Well, I'm going to say 1.5, because yeah, the second one, you know, kind of like went through him a little bit. But, you know, it was still an interception opportunity. Let me just say that. But at the same time, and look, I understand that was another game where you could say, man, you know, it seems like he was still struggling with his tackling, which once again, I still don't understand how can an NFL defense be so bad at tackling. But when I was taking a look at Jalen Petrie on yesterday, he still made plays on the ball, and he was still pretty solid in his coverages. And I just wanted to share some light on Jalen Petrie, because like I just mentioned, I understand it, especially going up against the game that he had last week against the New York Giants. You know, this hasn't been the best version of Jalen Petrie, but what we are seeing are these rookies going through their learning curves. And just like I said about Keon Green in the first segment, I'm going to say it again. The more Jalen Petrie have these learning curves, go through these struggles early, the better his development is going to be, which is going to make this Houston Texans secondary a hell of a lot better moving forward. Speaking of the Houston Texans secondary, I truly do believe that the Texans did miss Derrick Stingley Jr. on yesterday. And I understand, and we talk about it here a lot on this show, that how Lovie Smith is basically doing Derrick Stingley a disservice by not orchestrating a defensive scheme that is good for his best defensive attribute, which is a one-on-one corner. But at the same time, you saw that the secondary was missing something without Derrick Stingley Jr. out there on that field. As you guys know, he missed yesterday's game due to a hamstring injury. Hopefully, he will be back next week when they take on the Miami Dolphins, because, boy, with that wide receiver core, they definitely are going to need him.
Yeah, I think that game may be the ugliest of the year, if I'm being completely honest. I don't think any team.
Well, there's a game after that might be the ugliest. I'm just saying.
That may be the ugliest because of who's taking the selfie. But in terms of team matchups, when I look at, and I'm kind of, you know, we'll talk about this probably throughout the week, but I don't think the Texans you know, was overpowered by the Colts. The Broncos didn't overpower him. The Bears didn't overpower him. The Chargers, that may be the game you could consider being overpowered in, or just being, you know, not just didn't have a talent at the time. The Jags didn't overpower him. The Eagles, maybe you could say that because of that second half performance. But when I think of all four quarters just getting dominated and it being an ugly game, I look at that Dolphins game as the one that I would point directly to. But, you know, I want to go back to that Jalen Petrie point briefly. And I think this week may be a good week to talk about some of the things that we're thankful for in the holiday spirit, Thanksgiving, keeping that theme going, which we'll get into. But we are thankful for these rookies. I think the rookies are going through a process in their career that they haven't been in a very long time. Jalen Petrie, I don't think, looks inspired to play football right now because of the losses wearing in on him. This is just me, right? When the season first started, his energy popped off the screen. His energy popped off the field. And in the last couple of weeks, the Houston Texans are losing. It's how they've been losing, right? And a lot of that time, the defense is on the field, so his body is getting wear down a little bit, right? The offense hasn't been good or consistently been good throughout four quarters. But when I look at Petrie again, I don't think he's inspired. Honestly, outside of a couple of players here and there, yesterday's performance was very uninspiring from both sides of the ball because, again, this team didn't do anything to necessarily blow you out the water or dominate you. They just came to football, play football, and the Houston Texans did not look like they came to play football. And I get it. I think that this is one of those moments where you can see coming from winning to losing like this is weighing in on his playing time, his playing ability, rather. And that's why I think we've been seeing this type of play from Jalen Petrie. Now, before we move out and close the show, I want to let you guys know that today's episode of the Locked On Texan podcast is presented by Prize Picks. Again, Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Pick 2 to 5 players, and if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money. Prize Picks offers projections on any sport that you watch, including NFL, NBA, NHL, PGA, college football, men's college basketball, women's college basketball, soccer, WNBA. My point is, whatever sport is out there and active right now, down to cricket, Prize Picks got you, where you can bet and entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy, safe and fast withdrawals, currently operational in over 30 states and Canada. So, what you do, download the Prize Picks app on your phone or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code LOCKEDON. If you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, they'll give you $50. Don't forget to use promo code LOCKEDON at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. Thanks for making Locked On Texans your first listen. For your next listen, check out Locked On Sports Today podcast. The biggest stories of the day, plus instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day. Available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcast. I opened the show by saying frustration boiled over. Well, I'll tell you why. Davis Mills at one point during the game, 6 of 9 for 22 yards, 1 interception, sacked 3 times. 30.6 passer rating, right? He ended the game with 19 of 33, 169 yards, no touchdown, 2 interceptions. As I mentioned, 5 sacks, 46.2 passer rating. The frustration boiled over between Brian T. Smith and head coach Lovie Smith. And in the past couple of weeks, we've seen the fans' reactions to keeping Davis Mills in. We've seen the media reaction to keeping Davis Mills in. And then on yesterday, we saw the reaction to keeping Kenyon Green in, who, by the by far, who, by the way, had by far his worst game of his young career. But that frustration from Lovie Smith boiled over in yesterday's press conference. And I got to say, man, listen, I can't wait for you to, you know, talk about this, but briefly, I believe that Davis Mills should not be pulled if he's healthy enough to play. And I will still say, if I'm fair, a part of me still believes that. However, because that is my belief, doesn't make it right. And I can see logically why subbing in Kyle Allen makes sense. I can't see logically subbing in any McCray for Kenyon Green, because I genuinely believe nothing is going to change, and it may get worse if you sub in McCray for Kenyon Green. But you don't know what you're going to get out of Kyle Allen in this offense in a regular season game. Because if we go back to the preseason games, well, at times Kyle Allen looked better than Davis Mills. And I can see why fans, media members, may want to see a change at quarterback. It makes sense. Unless the plan is continue to do what you're doing so we can lock in and secure that number one overall pick. By the way, the Browns lost on Sunday as well, so those first two round picks are looking even better and sexier. The Texans' first two round picks is like a Dr. Miami BBL right now, I'll tell you that. But overall, it makes sense. It is a logical question. That question should have been asked because how bad Davis Mills has been playing. I respect it. And I think that how Lovie Smith handled it, I can't be mad at how he handled it, because from what I've been told, Cody, you were there, he made it clear there was not going to be a change at quarterback. But there should be some clarification on why. Because your starting quarterback as of right now looks abysmal, looks lost, and at times looks clueless of what's supposed to be going on the field for a starting NFL quarterback.
It makes 100% sense as to why they won't change quarterbacks. John, the Houston Texans are 1-8-1. The season is lost. The season is over. And I don't think a quarterback change is going to benefit. I don't think the Houston Texans are going to benefit from a quarterback change. Because, yes, you could say the whole, well, if Kyle Allen was the quarterback, they could win 3-4 more games. Well, look, and I'm not the one that believes that a franchise tanks on purpose or whatever the case might be. But then you're going to jeopardize your opportunity. Look, that's why I say I don't believe. I would hate to believe that these franchises. Look, I know it happens, but you know, I just hate it for the players, because these are guys who are putting their bodies and their lives on the line with every single snaps, and you're doing it just because, you know, your organization is tanking or whatever the case might be. But I say all that just to say, you know, everything that the Houston Texans are doing from here on out is all about the future. That's why you and I had that conversation last week talking about, you know, who are some of the young players that we want to see the Houston Texans play more so to finish out the season, to see whether or not they could be a foundational piece for this organization moving forward. But John, even if Kyle Allen do goes in and be the starting quarterback, I don't think he's going to give the dynamic change that this organization needed. Because look, the Texans play awful on the offensive side of the ball. They had a subpar performance on the defensive side of the ball, and that's been something that we have talked about a lot here on this show. But there's one thing I see a lot of people talk about, and I noticed that from the very opening snap. You talked about this team looking uninspired. There was no effort, and it seemed like that this is a group of players who are just done with the season, and at this point, they're just out there to collect a paycheck, because there was no type of effort anywhere from the Houston Texans. And
let me say this, and I want to apologize, because as a I understand that an athlete just doesn't necessarily wake up and get to that point where I'm just here to collect the paycheck. And I think that we are disrespecting their will and want to play the game. You know, like, it just, this is how you guys look right now. This is not how you always look And I can say, I don't know how you got here, but visually I can say this is, I know why you got here or how you got here. But I never want to disrespect an athlete's football player's will to play the game and love for the game or question that. That's not what I'm here to do. And I don't think we're purposely doing that, by the way. I just feel like from what we're seeing, losing is taking a toll on it. And we know that at the while, it's so much, only so much losing you're going to do to where you're going to and not want to play anymore or just kind of like, man, let's get the season up with. But we can't say that switching out Kyle Allen for Davis Mills won't make a huge change. This is the reason why I don't think
it will, though. Like, it'll be different if the Texans were, I'm sorry to cut you off, but it would be different if the Texans were, let's say, one or two games under 500. And it's like, man, maybe that quarterback might be the reason why we can probably get to the wild card game or anything. Like, I don't see Kyle Allen coming in and changing the dynamic of this organization. I don't see it.
This is why I said it wouldn't make sense to switch out Justin McCray for Kenyon Green. Because at the very least, we've seen Justin McCray play football this year in the regular season. Whether that may be for an extended drive, an extended possession, or whatever the case is, if a guy went down and he had to step in and play. At some point, we've seen Justin McCray play football, and it wasn't good. It wasn't pretty. The product on the field wasn't necessarily, you know, stand out. Didn't stand out. But we have not seen Kyle Allen play in the regular season. We haven't seen anything, so we don't necessarily know what Kyle Allen can do for this team, not in the past, not the Panthers, or I believe it's Tom with the Commanders. We don't know. But we do know that right now, Davis Mills, 11 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. We do know that for Davis Mills, I counted on two occasions in that third quarter where they had an opportunity to score a touchdown. He didn't read Akins for a touchdown, and he didn't read Rex Burkhead for a touchdown. I've seen Davis Mills not hit TQ, the Rook, in the flats after he knocks his man on the ground, has a wide open area to pick up a first down and maybe a whole lot more if he gets ahead of steam. He's a big guy, 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", who really wants to tackle him one-on-one. And they also on that same play, I believe he missed Chris Moore. I've seen that. I haven't seen Kyle Allen in the regular season. So I can't definitively say that because of his past, right? Because of his past, what we've seen out of his past, he won't bring a difference to this Houston Texans offense. Because of the present quarterback, he hasn't brought a different feel for this Houston Texan quarterback. So it's only about the future. And maybe Kyle Allen might do better in this offense than Davis Mills. Because of what we're seeing, Davis Mills, for the most part, largely throughout the season, has been a bad product on the field. Thank you guys for checking out today's episode of the Locked On Texan Podcast. Be sure to continuously check us out each and every day. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Texan. Subscribe to the Locked On Texan Podcast on YouTube as well.
And as always, I'm your host, Cody M. Davis. Please remember to follow me on Twitter at CodyDavis_24. Once again, that's Cody, CotyDavis_24. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, peace.